James and John. What words? Lord, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. We want to sit on your right and on your left in your glory. Title of this homily is Greatness is in Being Small. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was time to become small. We celebrate that incredible event March the 25th every year, 9 months before Christmas, when this second person of the Trinity, the eternal Trinity, takes up residence in a womb, in a dot. So small, a microscope can't pick it up. And yet in that dot, in that womb, all the fullness of the Godhead was dwelling bodily. About 33 years later, here would be this one hanging on a cross. And still, by way of comparison with who he was and is eternally, very small on that cross, crucified. It was time to become small. Can you imagine the thoughts of this eternal God in the flesh when these two people come to him, James and John, and they say, Lord, we are your men. We've got it all together. We've talked this over for quite some time, and we know what we need to do, and we want to tell you. We want to sit at your right and your left. Lord, we are your men. Can you imagine the thoughts of Jesus, perhaps somewhere along the line of, you don't know how to become small, do you? There was a man one time talking to a group of people, and he was saying, in order to achieve the great blessings of God, you have to reach very high. Because the blessings of God are on high shelves, one on top of the other, and you have to be big, and you have to be tall, and you have to reach for those blessings and powers of the Almighty God. And if you're not big enough to reach up there to those high shelves where those blessings are, you just don't get them. Sounds just a little bit like you and me, doesn't it? How often we say greatness is in being great. No, we don't say that. What we say is greatness is in being the best. Greatness is in being the greatest. And how we live those lives of fanfares and trumpets and percussion that shake the ground when we walk. And we expect everybody to bow down when those trumpets pass by. The request of James and John is mirrored in our hearts every day. Lord, make me the greatest, and everybody else subject to me. Lord, we want to sit at your right and your left and not the other 10, just my brother and myself. And the sin goes even deeper than that in them and in us, because the request is, Lord, we want you to do whatever we want you to do. We want to reign over you. We got this horrendous attitude toward other people and toward God from those original two recalcitrants. Not satisfied with having the kingdom right in their hands, but they just had to say, "We will reign over you." And ultimately, they had to snake their way out of paradise into a world full of sweat and toil and aging and death. And that gift comes to us every day. And the attitude, "I will be the greatest." Today indeed is a day that needs to be laced with repentance, as every day needs to be laced with those words that say, "Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me, such an unrighteous, self-righteous fool." And that confession is truly a gift of the Almighty God in itself, that we can say that. Enter a very patient Lord, a very small Lord. As you read through this text, we find the big James and John confronted by a very small and patient Lord. Deals with them in great love. And those words come down to you and me that he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor requite us according to our iniquities. After all, he drank the cup that he speaks of here. And it was a cup of nails. And it was a cup of blood. And it was the cup of great suffering. And he was baptized, as he speaks of here on that cross, with a crucifixion, the picture of which you and I can't begin to imagine. It was so horrendous. A patient, small Lord on his cross. And the wrath and anger of this mighty Heavenly Father passing over you and me, miracle of miracles, passing over you and me who deserve it so richly, and landing squarely in the heart of the Savior. Every lightning bolt, one right after the other, in Jesus. The small, but in reality gigantic Savior, reigning from his cross, bearing the sins of the whole world, even our trumpets and our fanfares, taking every single one of them into himself and ultimately leaving them in the grave and showering upon you and me forgiveness and life and mercy. And it's that forgiveness, life, and mercy that finally from the hands of this small Jesus Christ also promised to us eternal glory, prepared for us long ago, as Jesus says here. What a tremendous preparation that was. And he gives it to us daily. The results, the promises, "You will be with me in paradise." And the miracles go on. Namely, he causes us to be small, to be able to say to wife and child and husband and peer and boss, "Here are my crucified hands, crucified with Jesus. Here are my holy hands, made holy by Jesus. Here are my small hands to serve you and to serve my God, because he first loved me." That same man that said you have to be really big to reach those blessings and powers of God on those shelves way up on the wall, he said, but the Lord turned me around and put me on my knees. And now by his power and his love, he has shown to me that those great blessings of God do not sit on those shelves way up top, but they are on one shelf under the other, down toward the floor. And he put me on my knees to walk on my knees past those shelves, and that's where those blessings come. To the small, made so by the Lord. James and John became very small. They had no idea what the Lord was talking about here when he said, you will drink my cup and you will be baptized with this baptism. They found out, and you and I know what it means too. Therefore, no more trumpets, no more fanfares, but the gentle walking by the power of the Holy Spirit and service and love from a small Savior who is now exalted and gigantic. Greatness is in being small. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.